This podcast was sponsored by We Are Golden Hour, your one-stop shop for plus-size fashion that'll always brighten up your day and brighten up your wardrobe.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We at Fat and Eyes pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land. Is this thing on? Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome to another episode of the Fat and Eyes podcast. I am your host, Demi Lynch, and we're here today to talk about more issues and topics related to the world of fat liberation. And I'm very excited to introduce to you all my two guests. They have really cemented themselves in the plus size scene, especially this past year, with their amazing business, A Plus Market. We have Chloe Pappas and Samantha Van Zeden coming on. Hello, lovelies. How are yous?
We're good. How you doing?
Doing good. Excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
I think we need to kick off this recording by firstly, I want to ask, are you going okay? There's been a lot going on. You had, what was it? You were at Big Thick Energy and now you got Fashion Fest coming up. How are you going? How are you going? So Samantha, my dear, how are you going? Is the stress, the chaos? How are you going?
It's a bit. I'm fine with Sam, by the way. We're doing okay. So last weekend we had a big two-evening event at the Malt House alongside Big Thick Energy, who are an incredible performance group from Sydney. They came down for Midsummer and absolutely slayed. They had us along to hold some market stalls alongside their performances, and it was just such an electric weekend. Like, everybody was just really feeling themselves and feeling everyone else, that it was very good. So that was over two nights, and now in 2 weeks time we've got another market event coming up, and it's a big step up for us. We're sort of doubling, if not more, the size of the market on the 5th of March. So we're going to have a bunch of size inclusive brands and pre-loved storeholders and influencers doing closet clear outs and lots of new and pre-loved accessibly sized clothing.
I am so excited. I'm hosting an event at the Fashion Festival as well, and I'm gonna have to bring an extra luggage because I'm gonna need all the room to buy all the stuff at the market, because this is my first A Plus Market. So I am keen to just absorb all the fashion and just get it all. Very excited for that. So I'm very curious, so how did this all begin? Because I feel like you two have just skyrocketed this past year, like with the markets and how big they've gotten. And for listeners that don't know, pretty much A Plus Market, they actually, no, you know what, Chloe, I'll get you to explain. What is the A Plus Market? What am I doing here? You explain it. How did this begin and what is it exactly?
Yeah, so we took over A Plus Market from its original owner, Erin, in 2021. Sometime during a lockdown where we thought it would be a really sweet idea to take over an events business. Clearly, our brains were in a really functioning mode at that point.
We all made weird decisions back then. It's all good. It turned out well.
Yeah, like the crochet kit I bought, that was not a good weird one, but this was a good weird one. So we took it over from Erin around then. I think she'd been hosting it for 7 or 8 years before that, and she was ready to move on. It kind of existed in a bit of a different state before we took it over, And yeah, it's been incredible. It's kind of like everyone came out of lockdown and was they were ready to shop. They're also ready for community. They're also ready for, you know, finding new ways to find sustainable fashion, to sell out, to sell their closet clear outs and like get a whole new wardrobe, which I can relate to at every moment in time. Yeah, so A plus, we run 4 or 5 events a year, usually in Victoria. And as Sam said, there's a mix of brands who are the legends that have inclusive sizing, or they're kind of creators who are in the plus size space, or kind of our biggest focus is pre-loved or like vintage clothing that you can buy and keep in circulation.
I love that so much because I'm keen to hear both of your perspectives on this. Because as someone that does love fashion, but doesn't like having to spend so much ridiculous amount of money for plus size fashion, because there's not a lot of it out there. And what I love so much is that it's second, there's a lot of secondhand fashion, and that is just so hard to access. Like when you go to your local Vinnies, there's not a lot of plus size fashion, and it's very hard to just be ethical in the shopping experience. Like, Sam, do you feel like you've experienced that yourself? Like those struggles growing up trying to be a good consumer, an ethical consumer, buy secondhand, buy vintage clothes, but just struggle to actually get access to plus size clothes?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, op shops are a weird space for plus size people. There's always this sort of shameful rack in the dark and dingy corner that you have to sort of shuffle over to, and
Oh,
it's
yeah.
always full of sort of dowdy stuff, and it's not really, not very young, it's not very on trend. The quality is always very sort of hit and miss, like it could go either way. And I think that that's like a symptom of the larger problem, right? It's not necessarily op shops' fault that there's not much high quality plus size clothing being made, and that trickles down. So I think plus size people go shopping and there's like a scarcity mindset, because I'm sure you understand, Demi, like you've been shopping your whole life and there's not much to pick from, so you just grab whatever you can when it fits. And then you hold on to it until it's absolutely dead. So that's one reason stuff doesn't make it to the op shop. Another reason is because there's not much quality stuff. So like the poorly produced stuff doesn't last long enough to make it to the op shop. And then there's stuff like there's it's like trends around like oversizing or upcycling that makes the plus size stuff that is available in op shops attractive to people of all sizes. So they're coming in to get the stuff with the extra materials so that they can cut it up and reshape it, which means that somebody that needs the extra material to fit their body doesn't have access to that either. So yeah, there are so many reasons that it's hard to shop in op shops, but like, yeah.
I so agree with that though. Like, there is definitely a trend right now, like, getting baggy shirts, get and like turning them into dresses. And like, that's fair, if you wanna like, play with fashion and stuff like that. But there is a lot of privilege to it that thin people can easily get baggy clothes, whereas for plus size people, we can't even just get general clothes that can just generally fit us because there's not a lot of it out there. Yeah. Chloe, do you feel the same? Have you had the same experience with before A plus market? Did you have difficulties buying secondhand vintage clothes, like as a plus size woman?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, as Sam said, it's always picked over really quickly. You know, you've got that dingy rack at the back. There's not a lot to choose from. It's similar to going to like your local shopping mall and buying new stuff. It's just a bit bleak. So I think that's why it's been nice to have A plus as an avenue for that. And I think something I really loved about the like pre-loved selection at A plus is there's kind of whatever your budget is, there's something like there's the $5 bins a lot of the time for folks that are selling stuff. And then, and this is a hot tip for anyone listening, but people often come early in the day to like find a pair of Lucy and Yaks or find a pair of or find like a Selkie dress
I was going to say, you remember that silky dress.
Someone was selling a silky dress. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And, you know, they're selling a silky dress that might have cost $300 to, like, mm-hmm. like 70. So there's kind of something for everyone genuinely. And then there's also more budget-friendly stuff. And I think it doesn't – we welcome all brands at the market as long as it's, you know, in good nick. It's wearable. Like, I think the thing we say is if you'd gift it to a friend, then it's okay, like, yeah. to bring it along and sell it. So yeah, it's really changed things, I think, for us as shoppers, as well as getting to run this beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I just love so much, and I'm so excited about the fact that I can literally go to every single store and be like, there's actually sizes that fit me. When has that ever happened for a fat bitch?
Not often.
Yeah.
I think something happens in the A-plus space as well where, or at least my experience as a shopper before we started driving the thing, was that I stopped looking at sizes as much as I yeah. would in other shops, whether that's op shops or new shops.
Yeah.
You sort of feel much more in touch with, like, will this garment fit my body, rather than, like, I'm a size 20 to 22. I have to look for that on the label to know that that piece is okay for me. Just, like, we know that sizing, especially in plus sizes, is it's off chops. Like, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's nice to sort of get into a different frame of mind and just sort of assess pieces for what they actually are.
And I think everyone really pumps each other up. Like, that's the nicest thing about shopping, is that when we first took over, we have this communal change room, and there'll be a few of them at the March market. And I remember saying to Sam, like, I don't know if people are going to feel comfy to use this. It is so popular. Everyone gets in that change room. They rip their gear off. Everyone's, like, commenting on everyone's outfits. Like, yeah, you look amazing. Everyone's, like, genuinely ready to compliment each other, support each other to find the right thing. And I think you just feel safe in a way that you wouldn't in a usual shop. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Oh, I'm so excited for it. What are some hot tips you can give to people coming to their first A-plus market? Like, as you said, this is an experience like no other. It's not just a regular market, and it's not like, you know, going to a general shops. This is an experience of full of so many beautiful, amazing plus size people, and it's catered to people of all budgets. What are some hot tips you'll give to newbie customers like myself?
I guess take it slow. Like, it is a big day. Don't be scared to, like, sit down, make a friend. Like, everybody's so bloody nice, and, like, there's breakout space with seating and you know, snacks and drinks and all that sort of stuff. So just, like, take a breather if you need to. Other hot tips: try and get your, like, patient rummaging brain going. And I mean, some days, I don't know, some days you got it and some days you just don't. You know how some days you just can't see the things, but yeah. like, if you can turn that on, do. I guess, yeah, I'd bring your totes, bring your keep cups, wear comfy shoes, wear stuff that's easy to, like, take off and put back on again so that you can try things on. Trying on is highly encouraged. This is a point of tension between Chloe and myself, because I am a serial trier on her and she is absolutely not.
I was like, I'm going to buy it.
I'm on Chloe's side here. I am the same. I'm the worst with trying on. It's an exercise. It takes yeah. so much effort. And I get triggered from change rooms, because how to know how many times I've been in a change room, it's boiling hot and you're almost on the brink of tears because this thing that is supposedly meant to fit you somehow doesn't fit you, even though it's the exact same size of clothes that you're wearing right now. So yeah, change rooms can be a lot.
Totally appreciate that. I guess then my tip for you, Demi, would be get ready to reappraise your relationship with change rooms.
It's all gonna shift from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not best then I just tear off my clothes in the middle of the markets and get change. That might not be favorable.
Maybe. Honestly,
it depends how many of the clothes. If you wear layers, it's definitely I think both of us have definitely done it at least.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think those are some good tips. And I think, like, as Sam said before, you know, we have sizing through from 16 to 32 plus, but I would say, like, hot tip, honestly, fuck the sizing, just give it a red hot go.
Yeah.
You know, I think it helps you learn about your body and what will and won't work for you. And bring a mate, and you can also bring, it's okay if you bring a straight size mate. It's okay if you bring your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your whatever, your mate. Because the vibe is so nice. And we've got it all set up so that this time around there's, like, as Sam said, there's seating, there's pizza, there's coffee. There's going to be a really sick photo wall as well. So
yes.
Kind of smart to bring your straight size friend, because then they can carry your stuff
exactly
without browsing themselves. So
it's time for a little flip strategic on what we all did as teenagers, mm-hmm, where we had to shop the accessories. Now it's time for our straight size friends to shop from the jewelry brands.
Because yes, there are some really good ones coming along. Really good.
It's their turn now. It's their turn to carry the bags. Yep, I love that. Uh-huh, yep. Something I'm also very curious about, because you two are organizing now so many events, working with so many venues, which I've done this in the past with some previous jobs. And can I just say, just well done. It's brought me to tears many times in my previous work. So well done to you both for doing it, can I just say? But something I am curious about is, how have you two gone with collaborating with venues and making sure that because this event that you're catering to, it's predominantly obviously plus size people, and also you want to make sure that you cater to people that have disabilities as well. What has that been like, making sure that these events not only stock clothing that is catered to the plus size people, but also that it is accessible for plus size community and also the disability community? What has been your experience with that, Chloe?
I would say that it's still a massive journey for us. I think it's been, like, when we first sat down and we were like, oh shit, we just bought an events business. Like, that was always at the top of the rung for us, is how do we make sure this is as accessible as possible and that we're doing everything in our power and control to make it that way. And I think we really spoke about that with the community too, on our socials, in person. You know, we really encourage people to tell us, like, how could we shift this? What could we change here? And when it comes to venues, it's really tricky, as you said. And Sam and I love to cry, so we've definitely cried over venues. But, you know, we have a list that we go through when we're looking at new venues, and we're in the process of that at the moment. It's figuring out kind of where our new home is, because we've outgrown the space that we used last year. And there's no venue that hits every single thing on the list. And so sometimes we're improvising, sometimes we're doing the best that we can. Sam, have you got any extra thoughts? Because I know that Sam worked really hard on the floor plan last year at one of our main venues to make sure the aisles were more accessible, to make sure there was more room to move. Like, that was a really big thing as the market became really busy, is that your aisles can be wide, but if there's shitloads of people in them, you know, that changes things as well.
Yeah.
I think that was definitely the experience of the floor plan, was that we started by sort of widening the aisles, making sure that they were wheelchair and pram accessible, mobility aid accessible, and just that fat people could walk past each other without knocking anything over or hurting each other. That was sort of job one, and then we got a lot busier, so we needed to make more aisles, which then becomes a conversation about, like, okay, as a business, do we value the community feeling of being safe and catered for that you can't get elsewhere, or do we value putting in as many stalls as we possibly can in order to make a bigger profit? And of course we chose the accessibility, mm-hmm, But that does mean that, you know, we have less stalls in there and that sort of stuff. So we have been trying to find like a bigger venue. Queen Vic Market, we're really excited about, partly because the floor plan is car parking spaces and we don't have to put any tape on any floor, and we're really fucking excited about it.
Oh, I've done the whole taping thing. That is, have you? So yeah, because I used to help organize some markets like years ago. And did you find when trying to do the taping in buildings, some buildings would be on an angle? So you think you're taping in a straight line, but then at the end of it, you're just like, all of these markings are all on an angle and then none of them are even.
Where did this extra half a meter at the front end come from? Yes. Yeah, I get it.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, thinking about things like aisle width, also thinking about things like, so we used to and still do on occasion when we absolutely can't find any other option, use change rooms that had a small lip on them to get into. And now we opt for other change rooms that don't, because it's, you know, it's a hard thing for people to get in and out of.
Yeah.
Just thinking about stuff like that, having appropriate seating and enough of it and breakout spaces. And also for like neurodivergent people, you know, making sure that we clearly communicate where the quiet spot is. Like, you need to take a breather. Here's how you do it. And also just not even in terms of the building that we're in necessarily, just the way that we and our incredible team of volunteers conduct ourselves. Like, there's no diet talk at our front desk. There's no gender specific language at our front desk. That's all stuff that we're really careful about. And like, we can't, I mean, you put 300 people in larger bodies in the same space and someone's going to be talking about a diet, but it's not coming from us. Right. Yeah. So we can't make rules for people's attitude in the space, but we can demonstrate, you know, kindness and community and just let people come along for it. And I think most people do.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, like you said, not even just in the venue, but on our socials as well. Like, I think something that no one noticed in the best way possible is that as soon as we took over, we never use like ladies or women or anything like that on socials. It's gender neutral the whole time. And the fact that no one has noticed that, or very few people have, just shows us that that is an easy thing that a lot of folks can be doing to be more inclusive and to be, you know, a safe space for folks in all different bodies, genders, identities.
And the only people that have noticed that are the people that appreciate that we're no longer saying, hey, babes, hey, women.
And there's so many terms you can use. It's a beautiful, it's good. And I think the last thing I'll say is that we're on a journey, and I think it's actually okay to say we're like always learning about making our spaces more comfortable, more safe, more accessible. You know, and we're going to communicate when we can't. Like, sometimes with venues, there are things that we can't do. There is absolutely no way for us to change them. So then we're just frank with the audience about that. You know, we're always open to feedback. Yeah, it's a whole journey. And I think it's just important, you know, if you're running events or you have a brand or you have a shop, that you just are genuinely committed to it meaningfully, and you just keep learning along the way.
We'll be back in just a moment, but first I want to talk to you all about today's sponsor. We are Golden Hour. You all know how much I love a business that actually gets involved with the community and their customers. Why? Because it shows they actually care for their customers and are passionate about their customers' needs and interests. We are Golden Hour does just that. Not only do they cater to the plus size community, but they also often collaborate with members of the plus size community as well. In fact, this weekend, We Are Golden Hour are taking their designs to PayPal's Melbourne Fashion Festival. Not only are they featured in the upcoming Fat Runway, but their designs can also be bought the very next day at the A-plus markets. How amazing is that? Shop straight off the runway. Yes, please. Thank you so much to We Are Golden Hour for sponsoring today's podcast episode. And thank you for creating such a fabulous community of plus-size gals and non-binary pals. Head to wearegoldenhour.com.au and shop their range of size 16 to 28 designs today. We Are Golden Hour, your one-stop shop for plus-size fashion that'll always brighten up your day and brighten up your wardrobe.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So you two have a big list of brands that are coming onto this upcoming market. Tell me some of the ones you are most excited about, because there was some on the list that I saw that I did not expect that they would be on the list, because I was just like, oh my God, because you don't just have brands that everyone knows. Like, there are some brands in there and people in plus size community would be like, oh yeah, of course I know that brand. But you have some brands that are just very small and just has a very small tight-knit community, and it just makes me so happy to see that you have businesses on there that having them at the markets would just do so much for the exposure for them. Like, what are some of the brands you're most excited about, like people finally being able to see and finally able to get the exposure that they deserve? Like, Sam, what's some of your ones you're most excited for?
I think I'm excited about the range. Like, we've got activewear, we've got super femme stuff, we've got cottagecore stuff, we've got mask stuff, we've got streetwear, we've got snow gear. Like, we've got everything. Yes. So I'm super excited about the fact that so many people will find something that they're looking for. I think I'm excited. I really love August and Eve, who Alana, who runs August and Eve, is coming up from Tassie. I think she's based in Hobart, and she does an incredible job. We had her for the first time at our last market, and I think she left with like three garments. Like, she sold out, and you know, cried multiple times during the day, and because like of happiness.
Yeah.
But like, her partner goes around the op shops in Hobart and sources like the most attractive bed sheets that he can, like the prettiest bed sheets that he can find. And she turns them into these absolutely beautiful sort of cottagecore, boho, waify sort of dresses that you can reverse. They've got like a tie on one side and shirring on the other side. And you can either wear it as like a super booby tie up thing, or you can flip it around and have something a bit more supportive that ties in the back. Anyway, she's great, and I'm looking forward to having her along. Fussy Gus are a new one for us. They make really incredible, cheeky as fuck t-shirts. And Jen from Fussy Gus is just an absolute gem. So
love Jen. Oh, that'll be amazing.
Yeah, really looking forward to having her along. And another one that I'm looking forward to a lot is Squint, who are like quite high end, which is something quite new for us. But I think Fashion Festival is the place to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep. That's me, Chloe.
My God. It kind of feels like having to choose from your children.
Yeah.
I'm excited about every single one of them. I would say I'm pretty excited about Miss Pins, who we had at Midsummer, and she does this amazing lingerie, and that's something that we always get asked about, like, where's the lingerie, where is the underwear, and it's so hard to find as a plus size person. So that is awesome. I'm excited about House of Dizzy because I think their stuff is so sick.
I didn't see them on the list.
I love Accidental Jumper Co, who do like these upcycled like t-shirts and jumpers, and it's all made from like various patched fabric stuff, and it's like It's sustainable, but also so fucking cool. But my number one, like my fat fave, my find of the week.
You almost got there. Yes. Okay. What is your fave fat friendly find of the week?
Okay. My fave is Not for Dogs, who are this quite new brand who are doing like plus size or size inclusive harnesses. What are they called? Harnesses and collars
and stuff.
Chokers. That is what I'm trying to say. And all this sexy stuff. But it's also really cool. And I just feel like as plus size people, we often don't get to like buy stuff for pleasure or buy stuff that's a bit sexy or buy stuff in the kink space or like anything in that self pleasure realm. And that really pisses me off. So when Not for Dogs came along, it was like, hell yeah. Like we're out here wearing these sexy chokers, wearing these harnesses. It's really exciting. And the person that runs it is amazing. I'm so excited for them to become super famous with all their cool stuff. And the harnesses are all like totally adjustable. You can put them in lots of different shapes and stuff. So it's not like just one wearing it one way. It's like adaptable.
And Brooke, who runs the stall, is really great at giving tutorials yes. of like, here are 10 ways that you can wear this incredible piece.
I'm so not going to have any money. Crap.
Demi, the way that you phrased that question makes me want to ask, who are you most excited about? Who will you be beelining to on the day?
Oh, who am I most excited about? Oh, okay. I can tell you probably have this as well. Do you ever have like people on the internet that you think you're friends and you want to be friends, but you're just like, I just want to meet them in person. So then we can be like official friends.
I think maybe that's how we met. Yeah.
Yeah, are we friends now? Is that what's happening?
There's just so many people I just like talk to you on the internet and I'm just like, I think we're friends, but I don't know if we're friends, but I really, really want to be friends. Like Ample Folk.
I'm so excited.
So excited for her. I'm so keen. I cannot wait to meet her in person. I'm just gonna cry. Cannot wait to meet Jamie Nicole in person. Is it bad? I just remember people from their Insta handles. That's just bad. That's
that's not bad. That's where the majority of our community lives. So yes. It absolutely makes sense.
Oh, who's the gorgeous human who has the best glasses in the entire world, who's hosting
Anna
this
Anna
show?
From Frocking the Fat.
So exciting.
I love Anna.
She's also so sweet.
Oh, just I love her style. She's just so be such a just you just she just looks like seems like such a beautiful soul. And I'm just so keen to just meet all these people that I just see online and actually see them in person because I'm based in Brisbane. I love Brizzy, but nothing happens up here. So like I'm just keen to just put like the names to the faces and then finally like force people to become my friends. Like I'm keen for that. Honestly, yeah.
I don't think you'll have to force anyone. I think it's gonna be beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. But yes, I'm just so excited, and just thank you both so much for just bringing this to Melbourne Fashion Festival. Honestly, like it's gonna be a fat filled weekend. I'm so excited. We got Fat Runway. We got my live show. We got the A Plus Markets. Like we're just gonna have such a fat filled weekend. I'm so excited.
Absolutely, it's gonna be huge.
Yes, it's gonna be awesome. So, what are the finer details then that people need to know that are keen for the markets? We've been talking it up for the past half an hour. What do people need to know? Where are all the details?
We will be in the Peel Street half of Shed C and D at the Queen Victoria Market. You can get there by tram. You can walk there from Melbourne Central Station. I'm sure there are buses that go past. There's a bunch of parking. We'll be there from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. So it's a really long day. Come down anytime. What else do they need to know, Chloe? Entry is $5 on the door or pay as you can. We don't turn anyone away for lack of funds. So if you're not up for it, that's fine. Yes, sorry, Chloe, what else?
bring a bit of cash. Some of our storeholders do cash, some of them do card as well, but cash is always a good idea. Bring a mate, and even if you don't want to buy anything or you don't have the funds to buy anything, a lot of people just come to hang out, and it's like the best and loveliest thing ever. So just come and hang with us and fuck the fashion rules and let's have a great time.
Yes. Woo! I'm so keen. You'll just see me hauling a big suitcase along and through the aisles probably.
You won't be alone. It's fine.
I won't be alone. Well, thank you both for coming on to today's podcast episode, Fatanize. Anyone listening right now, if you want more details about any of the brands that we mentioned and also about the A-plus markets and just the PayPal Melbourne Fashion Festival in general, head to the links in today's show notes. I will also be putting in where you can follow A-plus markets so you can get all the details and all the many, many, many big brands that are going to be there, which I'm just so keen. But thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to leave us a review, a rating. Appreciate all the support. But most of all, thank you so much, Chloe and Sam, for coming on to today's episode and just listening to me freak out about clothes. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Demi. Can't wait to see you at the market.
Yes, cannot wait to see you too. Thank you. This podcast was sponsored by We Are Golden Hour, your one-stop shop for plus-size fashion that'll always brighten up your day and brighten up your wardrobe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Taylor Itsinas.
Taylor Itsinas. I'm Taylor Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We at Fatanize pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land.